Welcome to WebRush, the weekly talk show that brings you stories of real-world development from industry experts and developers like you and me. Each week, Ward Bell, Dan Wallin, Craig Shoemaker, and John Papa find out what it takes to write, deploy, and maintain apps that stand up to the demands of the real world. And now, here are your hosts.
Welcome back to WebRush. This is episode 192. Today, it's all about NX and Lerna. What do those things even mean? And our great guest today is Katarina Skrimpolo. If that name sounds familiar to you, it's because Katarina has joined us other times as well, which we'll talk about on this show. And I'm John Papa, along with my great co-host, Dan the Man, Wallin. How you doing, Dan?
You know, I'm doing good, John. I wanted to mention, I like to learn about a lot of technologies, actually. Yeah.
Really? Really? That's where you're going right now? I wish I had an audio that was like that. Wah, 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 wah.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was a good one, right? Right? Okay.
Maybe yeah, not, I guess so.
Anyway, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Everybody's laughing at you, Dan. There you go. Or laughing for you. One of the two. Okay, it's going to be one of those kinds of shows today, folks. Dan and I have obviously had way too much coffee today, and Katarina has been exclaiming the virtues of how she enjoys playing with her cats. So let me welcome everybody to meet Katarina yet once again on the show. How are you doing, Katarina?
Hi, John. Hi, Dan. I'm very happy to be back here in this show. I'm doing well.
We're very excited to have you back on the show. And for those of you who may not have caught the previous episodes of WebRush with Katarina, and please go check them out, pop them into the show notes, let me introduce you to her. Katarina is a senior software engineer at Narwhal on the NX Core team, is an open source contributor. She's a Google developer expert for Angular and web technologies and Google Maps platform three times over. She is an Angular Athens meetup co-founder, Women Tech Makers ambassador, mentoring women into tech, speaking about all the cool things that she does, climbing mountains, and serving cats for life. Serving cats. Now, when I have a visual, Katarina, of serving cats, of you with like a platter on your hand with like these amazing foods.
That's exactly what I thought, John.
Yep. Cats. Yep. That's what it is. That's what it is.
So your cats must be very, very happy with you.
I hope they are. I hope they are. They're always hungry for more food, but you know.
That is pretty true of the cats in my house as well. So what are your cats' names? Let's ask.
I have two cats. The one is named Manmu and the other one is Malone.
Awesome. Awesome. And are they named after any particular movie or book or anything that's special to you?
So Manmu, my boyfriend named him, and it's sort of a play on words that means like my man, like addressing someone. So when we call him, it's like addressing him at the same time. And Malone is from a children's book my father wrote about a cat named Malone. So
oh, very cool.
Awesome. That's great. We should drop a link into your father's book into the show notes as well. Yeah. That'd be great to check out. And Katarina, you're calling in. It's like we're a radio show. You're calling in on the radio from whereabouts in the world?
I'm in Athens in Greece.
Ah, what a wonderful place. Wonderful place.
Have you ever been here?
I have. And one of the great guides I had was Katarina the first time I came. So you were awesome at showing my family around. So thank you. And we're going to offer up to everybody now on the show. If you visit Greece, you've got to reach out to Katarina. So.
Please do.
So getting to our topic today on NX and Lerna, this is something that Katarina and I and Dan were talking about before the show. Can you explain just quickly for folks who may not be familiar in the audience of what NX is and then also what Lerna is?
NX is the open source tool that is created from the Narwhal team. NX is actually, we call it a next generation build system with first-class monorepo support. What this means is that it's a tool that helps you manage your monorepos, orchestrate your builds, and power up your CI. So this is an X. What Lerna is, the punchline of Lerna is that it's a fast, modern build system for managing and publishing multiple JavaScript packages from the same repository. So it's, again, a tool that helps you manage your monorepo and helps you publish different packages that all are hosted in the same repository.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, and I dropped in the notes, in the show notes, links to both of these. Also some articles that kind of connect the two together. One of the first questions I had when you proposed this topic was, I know what NX is because we've talked with folks, and Narwhal's a sponsor of our show, to be fair to everybody. And I know what Lerna is. And in the past, I've always kind of thought of Lerna and NX as being in the same space. So the almost not competitors, for example, because it's open source. But it's interesting to me to think that, well, wait a minute, you're talking about NX with Lerna in this case, like using both. So I have no experience with that, and I'm looking forward to hearing about that. But before we start there too, I mean, can you kind of just explain, like, is that the right way to think about NX and Lerna? Are they the same thing? Are they different? Like, how do they compare against each other?
I'm going to do a parenthesis here, and then I'll take it from start. So they can definitely work together, and actually NX uses Lerna for publishing.
Okay.
So, you know. but the reason why I wanted to talk about NX and Lerna is that on May 6th, Narwhal took over the stewardship of Lerna. So Lerna was not being maintained for the past 2 years. I think there was actually an announcement in 2020 from the main maintainer that it's been not maintained much. And then there was another announcement in April that maintenance stops. And then in May, Narwhal stepped in and took over stewardship. This does not mean that Narwhal takes over Lerna and pushes it aside. It means the exact opposite thing, that Narwhal will give a new life to Lerna. So this is why I wanted to bring up this topic today. And one of the things that's we are going to talk about is how you can integrate the two, because we're not talking about migrating, for example, from Lerna to NX, but we're talking about integrating NX into Lerna. And if you have NX, maybe you can also integrate Lerna into NX like we do in the NX repository, right? So it's the two work hand in hand together. And we can talk about the differences and the similarities.
That's a great overview. I appreciate that.
So John, one of the things I like about AG Grid, which is a data grid component for the kind of complex grid scenarios that we encounter all the time in enterprise apps, one of the things I really like about it is that it works for a variety of frameworks, Angular, React, Vue, or just vanilla JS. Does that ring a bell for you?
Oh, it really does. There's all these different companies that I work with where they have no choice but to use a lot of these different tools because they have different teams working on them. So being able to port their code or share that code and that technical investment they have is really important to them.
Yeah, well, it's important to us. Ideally, we're a consulting company, and you know, we never know what our client's going to want to use, Angular, React, or Vue, but they're all going to need a grid, and it's great to be able to reach for the one grid that works everywhere, AG Grid.
You know what, and any size company too, because you could have these teams that maybe they only use one framework, but eventually, they're going to switch to another one and be able to take that investment again and use it, reuse it, is really nice.
So if a multi-framework data grid makes sense to you, please go check out AG Grid at ag-grid.com.
Real quick to back up just a little, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably have heard the term monorepo. Maybe they haven't, and maybe they have, and they're wondering, like, why? You kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier because you mentioned you could have one repository, multiple packages, for example. But can you just give a real quick overview of what do we mean by monorepo? Maybe what are some of the pros and cons to consider? And then how Lerna and NX fit into that?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I'm going to give you also a nice link from a blog post that Victor Savkin, one of the founders of Narwhal, has written explaining what monorepos are, which I always go back to when I want to explain what a monorepo is, right? So I'm going to explain it in my own words now and from my experience of what I have experienced with it. So a monorepo is like you have a single repository, but it's not like a monolith. It's a repository where inside you can have different packages, like different applications, different libraries, and all of these work together. So you can import one package into another package, one library into another library without needing to publish it into an external thing like NPM or something else, you know. So it's sort of different applications, different projects, different libraries inside the same repository, one depending on the other, and working together. So it's not just collocation of code.
Gotcha. And I'm assuming then that brings up a lot of challenges that NX and Lerna step in to kind of fill that void.
Yeah. And there's not just, there are lots of tools to manage monorepos today. It's not just NX and Lerna. You can find them all in monorepo.tools, this website that gives you all the different choices that you have and also benchmarks. But yeah, because monorepos have started becoming more popular, because as the way we write applications changes, and specifically the way we write JavaScript and TypeScript applications and projects evolves a lot, and there is a need to manage more complexity and more code, you have to end up with a way to make this more manageable. And the way that monorepo helps, in my opinion, and from the way that I have experienced it, is that the fact that you have this advantage to have smaller packages available that you can build and test independently makes up the process much, much faster and much more agile.
I'm glad you asked that question, Dan. I'm glad you explained this, Katarina, because I think sometimes we tend to use words a lot in technology that we assume everybody understands what these things mean. And I know we've talked about monorepos a few times on this podcast, but I think it's good for folks to think about that. And also maybe we could take a step back for a second and think about, I remember a time when I didn't know what that word meant. And I don't know how we called what we did before. Like, what do we call before? Multi-repo? Like, we just said we had repos, right? We had repositories. Yeah. We wrote code. Then this monorepo concept came out. Remember when I first heard it, I'm like, that's just terrible. Why would I ever put every project in one repo? And I kind of went through all these stages. And then ultimately I'm like, you know what? In some cases, this makes a ton of sense. Like all these really related projects all in one place to make it easier to do builds and CI. And for me, a lot of it is about that CI process, the testing, the deployment of it. Even like shared libraries, like when you've got like a shared UI library, a lot of places they worked, like Disney, we had a shared UI library. Multiple projects had to take advantage of it. So just kind of giving some context that, yeah, for me, if you're like me out there in the audience, and you're like, why monorepo? I was with you for a while, but now I'm sold. I think this is a really good concept.
Well, and you summed it up pretty well earlier, Katarina, because you made the comment that I'm not talking monolithic, because I think when I first heard monorepo, the term monolithic came to mind, and I went, like John said, like, why would I do that? But that's not what it is. So,
yeah, I didn't even know what monorepos were until I joined Narwhal. I remember before the interview with Victor during my recruiting process, frantically Googling what a monorepo is, you know?
Dan, I've worked with a lot of monolithic applications in my career. I'm sure others have as well. So I feel you there. Yeah, that's has a negative connotation in my mind, whereas monorepo has a positive connotation in my mind.
I'd agree.
Katarina, let's flip back to now that we know what NX and Lerna are and kind of where monorepos are. Tell us more about what you want to share with everybody about integrating NX and Lerna.
The great thing that NX brings into Lerna and the thing Lerna lacked was that it wasn't fast and it wasn't efficient when you were building. In the CI process, it was not efficient when you were building or packaging things. So NX just adds that. So when Narwhal took over Lerna, we published version 5, which was just cleaning up some things and updating some packages. Now Lerna 5.1 is out. I think it just came out last week or maybe yesterday. I don't know. Where you can add in your package in your Lerna.json the useNX attribute flag. I don't know how you call it. And useNX equals true, and then you can install NX, and then you can take advantage of NX's benefits. And NX's benefits in the Lerna context is that you can use the NX cache, the distributed task execution of NX. That's we have NX Cloud, for example, where you can run your tasks across multiple machines And you can take advantage of the project graph, because NX uses this code analysis that produces the dependency graph for your application. So it shows you which packages depend on what and everything. And also it offers fast task scheduling and, as I said, the caching. So all these things are added in Lerna, which Lerna lacked before. Other than that, your Lerna repository will stay the same as it was. It will just have this extra thing of being faster and more efficient in these ways.
that's a big extra, though.
Yeah. You don't lose anything, you know. And the cool thing that you get is that you don't even have to change the command that you use. You can still use the Lerna CLI. You don't have to switch to the NX CLI. So it's almost a seamless integration with NX.
It sounds like taking your favorite food that was good, but making it phenomenal by adding in, you know, I don't know, extra spices and stuff like that. And it sounds like, I mean, I love that you mentioned you can still use the same commands, same tooling, but you get the speed benefits from like the cache and the stuff you mentioned. That's kind of a big deal. You don't normally see that where they work together so well that you don't even have to change what you're doing. That's nice.
Yeah. And the thing is, because I have to say that, I have to make this call out, of course. So when Lerna came out, the breakthrough and the innovative thing that it did, first of all, was that it was the first original JavaScript-based monorepo tool, right? And when it started, it provided these two innovations. The bootstrapping, which means that it added the dependencies. When you imported one package into the other, it created the dependencies, bootstrapping these packages, creating symlinks. And this was very innovative for that. This was a very innovative thing that Lerna brought in, right? Because you just you sort of added the package that you used inside your project, your package JSON, and then created a symlink in your node modules to that build package. The other thing was that using PMAP in PQ, it would offer the running tasks in parallel. And also it provides a very powerful publishing tool. So you can do publishing in fixed mode, which is what we do. This is why we use Lerna for NX, for example. Fixed mode means that all packages have the same version, or you can even do independent versioning, independent mode when you're publishing. So these are the two main things that Lerna brought and are still used today and are still very, very valuable. And this is why lots of people, so many people actually used Lerna. So this is why if someone is already using Lerna, they would not want to leave this behind, right? They would not want to migrate to anything else, but they can now add NX to make it faster.
Now, if I was not using Lerna now, and I wanted to just go straight to what NX offers, it sounds like I would still be using Lerna technically under the covers. Is that right? NX uses Lerna?
No, I meant the NX repository, the way we are publishing NX, we use Lerna. But if you want to use NX, yeah. So, but that's a great question because I wanted to go there. I mean, if you ask me now, if I want to start now a new project in a monorepo, right, what would you use? Would you use NX? Would you use Lerna? Would you use another monorepo tool? Of course, I would say use NX because I helped build NX and I'm a bit biased. But the good thing that NX offers, apart from these things that make your CI fast, is that we offer a lot of plugins. And plugins means that we offer a lot of code generators. So, you know, you can just type using the NX CLI, you can just type commands and generate code, but also we offer automatic migrations. So when you go from one version to the other, be it the one NX version to the other, or changing your React version or your Angular version, we offer scripts that will actually change the code for you and do the migration automatically. So this now, if you want to take advantage of this, you have to be on NX. This cannot really be brought in into Lerna. However, because NX offers the NX plugin package, that means that someone using Lerna could use the NX plugin package and they could create local workspace generators. And what does that mean in a real life example? Say I have a Lerna workspace and now I'm upgrading to Lerna 5.1 and yes, I want everything to be faster. So I do use NX and I add NX to my workspace. Everything works in the background. I don't even notice it because I still use the Lerna commands. But now I want to take advantage of the NX plugins. I can install the Narwhal / NX plugin package and create a workspace generator. That means I can write a little script that will go, and when I run it, it will generate a new application for me, or it will generate a new component or a new package for me, or it will do some migrations for me, you know. So I can use this powerful thing behind the scenes to create my own custom things to generate code, for example.
Can you explain to us as well, like Lerna works with, I went to the Lerna webpage, says it works with Babel, React, Angular, Ember, Meteor, Jest, and many others. And in fact, those particular ones I just mentioned all develop their packages with a single repository. So they're actually using monorepos. With NX specifically, tell us, does this work with Ember, React, Vue, Svelte? Like, what are the limitations or what are the non-limitations here? Like, who's this for?
So I would say that there are no limitations if you're on a JavaScript or a TypeScript-based language, or I want to believe so. I hope I'm not saying something that's wrong and Victor comes knocking on my door, you know?
I don't think Victor comes knocking on anybody's doors these days. Yeah, I know. Victor, if those who aren't sure about Victor is Victor Safkin. He's been a guest on our show a long time ago. We have to get Victor back on, by the way.
Yeah.
He's one of the co-founders of Narwhal.
So, yeah, as long as it's TypeScript or JavaScript based, or I think you can just take advantage of the powerful things that I mentioned, like the cache, the graph, the distributed task execution. So these things come out of the box. The thing that may not be supported if you're using an X and you're using some niche framework or something that we don't have full integration within our plugins is that you may miss out on generators or migrators, which is just the added thing that NX offers, right? But the whole making things faster will still work.
Yeah, and I just dropped a link into our show notes for NX and React just as an example for folks. I don't want to put 5,000 links in there, but yeah, it absolutely, it does work with some of these things.
For Angular and React, we have like the best integration possible, I want to say. Like, especially for these large frameworks, we really have the best integration. And especially for React, I know we're doing a lot of effort to reach out to the React ecosystem. And we even have a package that if you have a React, like a create React app application, you can just run a command and make this into an NX workspace. So it's with React and Angular and these big frameworks, we have full integration with NX.
Are you building a web application? Need to deliver it soon and don't have the people to do it? Maybe you're not sure your company has the skill set or experience to do it. And maybe we can help. I'm your host, Ward Bell, and my day job is building applications for companies like yours. I don't do it alone. I'm president of IdeaBlade, a consultancy that specializes in enterprise web application development. We're particularly strong in Angular, RxJS, NGRX Redux on the front end, and .NET and Microsoft technologies on the server. We're a small, tight-knit group of people handpicked by me for their expertise, experience, integrity, and team spirit. Maybe we can help you with architectural guidance and hands-on development. And if there's something we don't know, and in our field, really, there's too much to know, we can draw on our personal connections in the Microsoft RD, MVP, and Google GDE networks, as well as our international circle of really great developers, people we know and trust personally. If you got a project that's keeping you up at night, shoot us an email at info@ideablade.com. That's info@ideablade.com. And now back to the show.
So Katarina, one of the things I really love, you've mentioned how like with Angular and React and maybe even some others, that there's been a lot of, I guess, investment made to make that process super smooth. Because, you know, Jeff and Victor kind of came from the Angular background. Both of them at one point worked on that team. And so I think it's super cool to see how Narwhal has expanded that to not just, you know, Angular, React and others. Are there other investments being made? I know you mentioned React and Angular, but if I'm developing for another library that's maybe gaining in popularity, are there any others that are also being considered for this, super tight integration, as I think you called it?
So we have with Node, for example, and we have with React Native, and we have with Nest, but you know, Nest is Angular. But if anything new comes up, we have the community plugins that someone from the community can make an NX plugin and submit it. I think we have community plugins for Go, for Python, and for something else. I want to say Kotlin, but I'm not sure. But yeah, we do have these community plugins that are maintained by community members. And another great integration that we have that I want to call out, because I'm doing much work on it together with other people from the team, is the Storybook integration. So we have a very, very good Storybook integration as well.
That's awesome. I love Storybook. So that's great to hear.
Oh, you just said the magic word for Dan. Storybook, Dan.
Storybook. I love Storybook. Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering, because you mentioned JavaScript, TypeScript, but a lot of monorepos are also going to have other aspects to them. So it sounds like through these community plugins, there's really not a limitation per se, as long as there's a community plugin, or you could build your own, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Katerina, what if somebody wants to get started, like me, learning more about NX and Lerna with the project you're working on? For example, I have some projects right now I'm working on in Svelte and React. Where would you recommend me or our audience to start learning about it?
I would definitely recommend our docs, nx.dev. We have, I think our docs are, again, I'm going to praise my own house. This is what we say in Greece. But I think our docs take it very well step by step, and they provide tutorials and videos. And we also have lots of GitHub repositories that are examples that you can get started with, both for Lerna. We just created now, for example, a starter repository for Lerna that you can get started with, and for NX. So I think the official docs, and I'm going to give you links to paste, are a very good place to start.
If I'm a video person, like I like to watch somebody doing it, like maybe taking a beginner app, for example, let's say I've got an app and I'm just thinking, I've read the docs and I want to see somebody kind of put one together. Or do you know any videos where somebody kind of walks through that as well?
Yes, definitely. Yuri, one of our team, has created some very nice introductory videos for NX. And Victor recently created a video with Intro into Lerna 5.1, you know, the new version of Lerna with NX.
Fantastic. Yeah, we can drop those into the show notes for everybody as well, so you can check that out. That way, if you want to read about it, or you want to watch, or you're just looking for some late night Netflix and chill, there you go. You can watch Yuri do some NX.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Katerina, thank you so much for sharing all this with us. I'm definitely going to put this on my list of things to go investigate. And my list is getting long, unfortunately, but this is one of those things I feel like I need to look deeper into. Dan, have you done any Lerna with NX?
I've done what I'll call looked at Lerna. I didn't do it. Someone else did in a monorepo, but I haven't done as much with NX, which I should, because I live really close to Jeff, actually, Katerina. I'm literally like, I don't know, maybe 5 miles away or so.
Wow. Jeff Cross, the other co-founder? You're talking about Jeff Cross, the other co-founder of
Jeff Cross,
Powell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we've met up for lunch on many occasions, but it's been a while. So I'll have to reach out and do that again. Yep. But
reach out.
Anyway.
Awesome. It's a truly global team, by the way. Everybody's all over the world on this team.
Indeed.
So it's great to hear from you on this, too. I think it's something we definitely need to look more into. I know myself, I haven't used a lot of Lerna or NX. I've done a project, actually one each on both of those, but I've never really looked into it much deeper. So I need to explore this a little bit myself. So thank you for the learning resources.
You can put them together now. And I didn't mention do you know where the name Lerna comes from? I mean, I don't know why they named it like that. Don't get me wrong, but I know what it is. It's this mythical monster from ancient Greece.
Wow. Didn't know that.
The Lerna Hydra, which Hercules killed. It's like a monster with lots of heads. So if you see the logo of Lerna, it has this many heads. And when you would chop a head off, three other heads would come out. And Hercules just took a torch and scorched the neck so that the head stopped coming out. And this is how he killed that monster.
Wow. That sounds famously like a story that Dan told me that happened in his backyard one day. So now I'm wondering if Dan was telling me the truth.
It gets really hot here in Phoenix, so we get these creatures that just, you know, come out of the lava.
Yeah, actually, I'm a big Greek mythology fan, too, so I'm big into all that. And Katerina, I've talked about this in the past, so I didn't realize that Lerna was the Hydra, though. But that makes sense of why Narwhal took it on, because Narwhal, the name of the company that owns NX, is also a creature. So there you go. Developing a pattern here, aren't we? Hey, Katerina, thank you so much for joining us today. And now we get to the point of our show where we share our final thoughts with our audience. And today I'm going to start with my indomitable co-host, Dan. What's your final thoughts for our audience today on WebRush?
My final thought is, what is indomitable, John? Can you please explain the word? No, I'm just kidding.
Word isn't
too
here,
big of
so
a word
I have to use
for
long
me,
words.
Yeah, it's above my pay grade. I learned something interesting yesterday. So we September last year, invested really heavily in solar on our house, because I live in a place that's really sunny, lots and lots of sun. So it kind of made sense. And our numbers over the last few days, we've started to get really hot here, around like 44 Celsius for the Celsius people, or I think that's around 110, 111 Fahrenheit. So pretty hot or higher. And I look at the numbers every day because I'm just a little geeky that way. Because I like to see, you know, the curve of the numbers and how each panel's doing and all that. We got a lot of panels, almost 50 panels on the roof. And it was going down, the numbers. So it turns out that in really high temperature scenarios, that will impact your power generation, which probably makes sense because I'm guessing there might be some leakage or something of electrons here or there. I don't know. For those that are in electrical engineering, you probably know why. But anyway, I was like, what the heck? We have more sun than ever, and our numbers are down like 2-3%. What's going on? And it turns out that's why. Heat affects it. So I don't know that that's that useful, John, but that's what I'm going with today.
All right. Indomitable Thoughts by Dan Wallin.
Indomitable.
Katerina, what are your final thoughts for our audience today?
My final thoughts. Well, before I joined the show, I was thinking, I was writing my journal, and I have been under a lot of stress the past 2 months because I had lots of things on my plate. We say in Greece, lots of watermelons under the same armpit. This is the expression in Greek.
Okay.
Too many watermelons under the same armpit. So I was super stressed. So I was on a 4-day tech break just a few days ago. I went to my favorite island and I relaxed and then came back refreshed and more relaxed. And today, I think I had one of the best days I've ever had, I think. And it was just the simplest day. I woke up, I went to the pool, swimmed a bit, came back home, made lunch, worked a little bit, went for a walk. And I was just so relaxed that I didn't have to do anything else. And I wondered, why can't every one of my days be like that, you know? And I thought that maybe I should put a pause sometimes on the many things I do simultaneously and just enjoy that one day that, you know, I just go for a walk, go for a swim, work, and that's it.
That's a good thought. You got me thinking about that too. Sometimes we're always looking at what's next, and it's nice to think about and enjoy what you do have too. And just, I'd like to have more of those days myself.
Absolutely. I like that thought a lot.
That's a great thought. I'm going to switch gears too on my final thought. For if any of you know me at all, you know that I am just a little bit of a Star Wars and Disney fan. Right now I'm watching the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. No spoilers in this, by the way. I'm not that kind of person. I absolutely love it. There's a lot in there, and while not any show is perfect in any way, I'm really loving what they've done with it. If you're interested in Star Wars in any bit, or even if you're just a fan of really good storytelling, Ewan McGregor is doing a fantastic job in this, and it's a really good story. Not going to dive into any of the details, but I'll put a show link in there. It's on Disney Plus. If you don't have that, I apologize, but fantastic story. And yes, he is my favorite Jedi in Star Wars lore.
Does anyone die, John, in the show?
No, it's kind of like watching the old TV show, The A-Team, you know, where nobody ever dies. They just shoot machine guns at them all the time and nobody ever actually dies. No, I'm kidding.
They just chop off a head with a lightsaber, but nobody actually died. Yeah, okay.
Well, that is kind of true. If you think about like Star Wars shows, like there's several characters that seem to die in some of the shows. And then they come back later and you're like, wait a minute, how did that happen? But again, it's fiction. So, you know. Dan's just jealous because he doesn't have a lightsaber. So I think everybody growing up wants one. Anyway, it's a great show. Definitely check it out if you're interested in having some fun. I tend to read and watch a lot of stories. I'm a big storyteller. I like to live in the fiction world when I'm not doing real life because, quite frankly, my escape, kind of on the same theme as Katarina's, is to enjoy what I have. And when things are not looking wonderful in the real world, like sometimes they aren't with real world events the way they are these days, I like to escape a little bit and kind of enjoy just a little bit of fiction. So it's a good thing to look at. And I want to thank you all for joining us for yet another week of WebRush. And thank you for our great lineup of guests we've had, and Katarina for joining us for a third time. And I believe we just agreed to have you on for a fourth time later this year, if that's right.
Yeah.
So we're excited to have you back, talk about a different topic, because you know about so many different things. And Dan, thank you for coming on to our show as be my duo host today. I won't call you Indomitable anymore. Maybe I'll just call you Abominable. What do you think?
Abominable. Yeah, that fits.
And thank you all for listening to us and for our wonderful sponsors keeping us on the air. Narwhal, creators of NX, Ionic, AG Grid, and Idea Blade. You hear from us every week, every Thursday. See you next time.